بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The ustad that was conducting the class found a very, very exclusive fragrance, something that that's not usual, exclusive, capturing the heart, the mind, finding it very much irresistible. Normally, the ustad in the class shows a level of independence. He won't show need. And the teacher is supposed to be behaving in that way, that he doesn't express his needs to the students and not even the parents of the students. Hazrat Maulana Abu Hasan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullahi, he says, the people that you are working with in dini matters, then free them of your needs. So when they see you, their minds are not covered and confused. Now he's got this need, and I need to see to this, and I need to see to this requirement of his. When he sees you, he sees you in reverse, he sees you the other way around. Okay, what is my need? Not what is his need. When he's seeing you, that what's my need, then he'll look at you at a different perspective. No, I'm short of this. My namaz isn't right. My tongue isn't right. My eyes aren't right. And when that's going to happen, he's going to improve all the time, because his whole focus has changed. From a discourse or from anything that you engage in, any business, any transaction, then you want to see production. This is where many people have gone off today. That at a discourse, at a bayan, we are looking for production. And when we talk of production in a dini perspective, then what we refer to is that after this bayan, after this program, is there any additional improvement in me? I wasn't performing my namaz on time, I'm doing it in time. I wasn't careful of my eyes, now I've become more careful of my eyes. Now you will call it a production, or something that you have earned. But if it is that he came to a bayan, you heard it over the tape or the recorder, etc., and you only entertained yourself, excited about the whole thing, right? But he didn't buy into your bayan, then there's no production. There's production. He wasn't reading namaz, now he's performing namaz. He was very aggressive and impolite, now he became polite. He wasn't concerned about the rights of people, now he's become concerned about their rights. So now you say that there's some production, there's improvement. But if it was just excitement, entertainment, something new you're telling, and you want to excite them, Tanvi received one of his class friends, you know. So he saw that a class friend, and he's a knowledgeable person, I need to give on Masturat Bayan, so let me send him across, he will conduct the program. It's the Masturat program, and he says, it is also masnoon for the woman to make khatna. Now the woman got very much irritable. And they actually told him, conveyed the message, why don't you go and tell your own family? So Maulana spoke to his friend, but there were a lot of other things you could have spoken about, a lot of topics, but why? What made you discuss this? So he said, no, they're familiar with other talks about namaz, roza, etc. This was something, I caught them off guard, you see. So you don't give a bayan to catch someone off guard, excite the person, entertain the person. That's not the bayan. Unfortunately, this is what our mind like to entertain the crowd, excite them, get them something new, off guard, I've got them, threw them off their feet, you know. So now that's become the purpose of a bayan, entertainment, excitement, pleasure. But the idea is production. You need to do some business. What was forthcoming after the bayan? What happened after that? Was there any improvement, any correction, any adjustment? He became a better person. He became more affectionate towards his family, his children. He became a more responsible person. He had debts. He settled all his debts out. So, do you see any improvement in that respect? So hence, this is what we need to see when we're sitting at a bayan in a program. Like you go to a doctor, you don't go to the doctor for excitement and entertainment, or show you a nice video, a nice clip and all that. That was not the purpose. The purpose is, alright, show me some correction. How can I improve my health? What can I do? I'm not doing something right. Can you advise me? Can you correct me? Put me on course again? Can I enjoy my life again? This was not the purpose for you to go to the doctor. So the same applies in a bayan. This is what you need to see. So then you'll see a crowd, then how do you speak to the crowd? How do you address them? How do you get them on course? That is why the Imam Tanwir Sahib Rahmatullah didn't like everybody to give bayans. He says, Amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, ye har aadmi ka kaam nahi hai. Not everybody's work. You have to correct the person, he says, but correct him with a passion, with love. On the one end, the Quran is saying, Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati sayaj'alu lahumur rahman wudda. Allah will create love. But if we're going to have an approach where we're chasing people away, bashiru wa la tunaffiru, then we're not conforming to the sunnah. When Nabi Sallam is saying, bashiru wa la tunaffiru, win people towards Islam, give them good news, bring them towards Islam, don't chase them away. We have that approach, what's going to happen? Either we will chase people, or Islam will become an entertainment, an excitement. We have to know, alright, who he gave it to this week, who he smashed down. So now we're looking now. So that becomes the whole Jummah. Well, today he got smashed down. Yeah, this person here, who does see the army? He doesn't do business right, so Mu'ah caught him, smashed him nicely, gave him a good. So that's not the bayan. The bayan is business. When it's a business, we need to see production, number one. Number two is we need to enhance muhabbat. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah is giving a bayan, and he sees one person's trousers is below his ankle, right? Now, that's a concern. When you have muhabbat with a concern, then your whole approach is different. But you have a concern, but you don't have muhabbat. Or you have muhabbat and you don't have a concern, then it's going to be off. So now you have to put both in place. Do that Amr bil Ma'ruf, but do it with muhabbat. The idea is people must be loving Islam. They mustn't hate Islam. They mustn't say it's so difficult and we can't practice Islam. What's there for us in Islam? In this age, can we practice Islam? So if we have that hard approach, that rough approach, impolite approach, we may think to ourselves that we want people, we are told whatever we need to say. I had the fikr, that concern, I gave it to them. These people are dumb shaitans. They don't make Amr bil Ma'ruf. Now, then you didn't look at the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّى. Islam is to draw people close, not to chase people. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. If there are problems this day, then there were problems in that day as well. If in this day, there are majority that are away from Islam, the same situations and circumstances prevailed in the early days. Majority of the people are not interested in Islam, not too committed to deen. But with all that, the Quran is saying, سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّى. Now when you need to see that you win them over, then what must be your approach? So now a person is comprehensive, is balanced, then he'll have the right approach. He knows that I must do Amr bil Ma'ruf, but I must do it in a way that I will win people. I mustn't just do it in a routine. I mustn't just do it as a ritual. I mustn't do it with aggression. It's a concern, it's love, it's muhabbat that is propelling me, that's pushing me to do it. Well, the Shah Sahib Rahmatullah sees this person, this youngster, understands the youngster, alright, we appreciate the fact that he's coming to the masjid. But then we don't want him to be suffering the consequences. What do we do for him? How do we get him right? How do we get him on track? So on the one hand, he's making dua. He's worried that this person mustn't be chased away. Within his heart, he is concerned. He's got a love. He's got a passion for the person. He must come on. So he goes up to the youngster and tells him, you know what, I'm getting aged now and my eyesight is not right. Now, my eyesight is not right. See, the hadith speaks a lot about the trousers overflowing the ankles. And I don't know whether my trouser is right or not right. I don't want to become deserving of this type of punishment that is recorded in the hadith. So please just see if my trouser is right. So anyway, the youngster looks around and he says, hey, you know, your trouser is perfect, but my trouser is not right. But I take a promise from this day that you will never see my trousers below the ankle from today. But now, how did he balance it? How did he make it? How he packaged it? If he was firm in Amar bil Ma'ruf, then he didn't lose sight of muhabbat. He didn't lose sight of love, friendship, dini love. Now, ummah, you're going to have all types, all classes, all people. Someone is far, someone is close, someone is coming with the speed, someone is coming very slowly, someone is relaxed and casual, and someone is galloping. Now, all these people will have to be taken on board. But for every case, we have to think independently that I need to bring him close to Allah Ta'ala. I will bring him close to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will bring me close to himself. I will show him love for Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will show me love. Now, how do I work it out? How do I make it happen? Look at a situation. Most people, right? 99% of people, they love their wives to bits, right? It happens. You can't rule that off, right? Wife is always right. She wants something, we get it, right? Even sometimes it's our doubtful character, we'll get it. Where's my wife now? I don't want to have any ill feelings in our relationship. So we'll do something or the other. So the relationship means so much to us that we don't want to cause any problem in the relationship. Now the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then the relationship with the Muslims, should we be concerned about it or not? So when we have that relationship, that concern, then we're going to present Islam, but with beauty, politeness, with kindness, with love. People are coming closer to Islam, they're not getting chased away from Islam. And then you're working with every person you're working, but according to his level of commitment, the level of commitment he's given, you work with him. He's giving a different level of commitment, he's giving a different level of commitment. When the levels of commitment are different, then you're going to work with them accordingly. Here you're going to work with him with the speed, you're going to shout him, and here very, very softly, very gently you're going to work with him. He's going to take that to that aggression, this person is going to take to that. And this person will only take to politeness. So let me be polite. It may take some time, but if I'll win him, I'll win him right through, right? Win him right across. Man likes that. He likes that nobody must push him around. Nobody must force him. This is man's tabiat, right? I don't want to be pushed around. I don't want to be forced into something. I don't want that to happen. Although the elder has got the right to push him and to force him. But if this person is going to take it negatively, then have you brought the person closer to Islam? Or have you distanced him from Islam? Have you created a further muhabbat, a bond of muhabbat within the Muslim Brotherhood? Or you have created a dislike within the Muslim Brotherhood? If it is a faraz, if it is an obligation to invite what's good, it's an obligation also to create muhabbat. To create unity is an obligation. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ Isn't it an obligation? If this is an Amar bil Ma'ruf is an obligation, then to bond, to enhance muhabbat, to bring them together, it's also an obligation. In fact, a great obligation. So this imbalance is because we don't have the right understanding of deen. When the right understanding is not there, then the whole deen becomes entertainment, excitement. Hey, this bayan is going, you hear this clip here, you got that clip. The only clip I knew about women's clips, you know, and paper clips. Now there's some, this clip, that clip. So that becomes a novelty, it becomes an excitement, a thrill. It's not deen you're looking for. Are you looking for deen? If you're looking for deen, then you will take it as a medication. If it's bitter or it is sweet, I'm going to take it. I need to move on. My problems need to be discovered. They need to be ironed out. I need to look at it like this. I don't go to the doctor to come and tell me, oh, you're very good. No, you must tell me I got a problem. got heart problem, cancer problem, sugar problem. If he's going to conceal all these problems, the day is going to be covered. I'm going to swear the doctor. Hey, you knew about this thing. Why didn't you tell me at the early stage? Now you left it, now it's gone to the advanced stages. Now this has happened. So this is what you come for, a bayan. But then you need to package it nicely to the person. Tell it to him nicely. He will listen. Allah Ta'ala willing, he will listen. He will conform. Or at least it will come to his heart that this is not right. He'll make tawbah at some point or the other. This morning I was speaking to the ustaz, you know. I was giving an incident. We'll come back to the story of this youngster. For some reason that story is not coming. Maybe Allah wants me to speak something else, see. So there's an incident of Bal'am Ba'ura in the Quran Sharif. A learned person amongst the Bani Israel, amongst the few very learned persons. And not only learning, but his du'as are answered. So he's got learning and he's got piety. He's got the learning, education, and he's got righteousness and he's got piety. So to have a person with that type of comprehension, you'll find someone very learned, but you may not find him so righteous. And sometimes you may find a person very righteous, but he doesn't have that level of learning. But to have a person with a combination of the both, this is complementing this and that is complementing this. So it's very rare. Now this person, on the one hand, he's a person of learning, on the other hand, he is blessed, his du'as are all answered. You got a problem, you go up to him. The Bani Israel have a problem, they go up to him. Right? We got a problem, sort it out for us. He makes du'a and it happens. In the meanwhile, the Amalika is an enemy nation, right? Against the Bani Israel, enemy nation. And the Bani Israel have been commanded to go and fight against them. That's your land, that's your territory. They have overtaken your land, so you go and fight against them. The Amalika, the enemy nation, they have also heard that these people are coming on our side, coming to fight us. They heard about Musa alayhi salam, the miracles that were performed through his hands, oceaning, opening up, Fir'aun, dynamic, mighty, superpower of the time, drowning. They're hearing about the miracles that were performed for the Bani Israel, that the clouds are giving them shade, man and salwa is descending from the skies, prepared food is coming to them, water gushing out from rocks. So all these things they've heard. So they understood, they confirmed that this is divine assistance. And we can't be fighting against divine. I mean, we're fighting against Allah Ta'ala. Who can stand before Allah Ta'ala? In the meanwhile, they heard about this Bal'am. And they heard also that his du'as are answered. So they say, you know, marta kya na karta, they say. Dying person, what will he do? What won't he do? Do anything. We'll see the consequence later, but the dying person, anything, he's prepared to do it, prepared to take it on. So they go up to this Bal'am and say, you know, make dua for us. We're in a predicament. Every predicament we are in, we'll be destroyed, we'll be eliminated. So Bal'am turns around and says to them, that you're asking me for my own destruction, because what you're asking me is the destruction of Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam is the Nabi of the time. He's the endorsed Nabi of the time. Asking for dua against him is asking for my own destruction. So how can you make such a request? They pleaded and pleaded and pleaded until it brought him to a point of making istikhara. In the meanwhile, with the istikhara, what these people did, the Amalika, what they did, they went and loaded the wife with wealth. Gold and silver and stones and diamonds and pearls, etc. They loaded her. The person is going, he's sure of death. What is he not going to do? Go and give millions and millions and millions just to secure some type of protection and safety. So he's making istikhara. The first day it came negative, second day. By the third day he didn't see anything. Now he already had seen some things for the first 2 days that made it clear by he's not supposed to be going in this direction. But then, you know, money makes blind. It's strange if you look into history. Then there's two things that blinds a person's intelligence. Woman or wealth. Woman, you know, woman refers to all type of lust. It doesn't mean only woman per se. Literally woman. Anything that leads to lust. And when talk of lust, then wrong lust, right? So anything that would lead you to a wrong type of lust, you will refer to as woman. And the second thing is wealth. Now, you want wealth, why? You want it because of power and comfort. That's why you want wealth. Because you know, if you got wealth, you can buy anybody. You got the power, and you got comfort. This is why you want wealth. What else? Is there anything else you want? Wealth you need for your power and for your comfort. That's why you need wealth, right? So these are the two tools of shaitan. Shaitan wants to misuse, abuse, derail, distract anybody. Then he will use woman or he'll use wealth as a bait. Anybody who wants to distract, the same tools he used in the past, he'll use it today. And till the end of time, these are the two tools that he will use. Man is going so steady, so strong, so well. And put a woman in front and see, it's gone off. Put some wealth before him, some type of an opportunity before him, he's gone off. Right? He was going so steady. And then one opportunity came up. Just pay, you know, 1 million. Just take an interest and see afterwards, you'll flourish. He was going so steady, everything was working out well for him. And now he's broken down. So he sees that enthusiasm that was in him, that motivation that was in him, now it's cracked. He can't move himself. He doesn't have that enthusiasm. He doesn't have the drive in him any longer. Now he's trying to figure out, where is this? What happened to me now? So these are the two tools of shaitan. He used it always and he will use it all the time. Shaitan also got finished because of the same reason. He fell off because of the same thing. He wanted the power, right? You want power because of wealth, or you want wealth because of power, one of the two, right? So, this power and wealth goes together, and lust and woman go together, right? He wanted that power. He wanted that authority, right? So, he relented, refused, rebelled, right? Because he didn't get that power, he didn't get that authority. So these two things were used by shaitan always in history. Whenever you see any collapse, any failure, it's one of these two things. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. How aptly the Quran, the Hadith says it. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. These things you must be just careful about. It'll wipe you off your feet, no matter who you are. The right thing is to trust and have faith in Allah Ta'ala. To trust Allah Ta'ala, have faith in Allah Ta'ala. Have your confidence in Him. Where you go through a spell of agony, grief, pain, etc. One of the main reasons for this is projection. I say, projection, that's the secret of modern commerce and finance. You have to have some projection in place. And then work towards your projections. So you're busting the whole concept. You're busting and you're breaking the whole concept. I say this is the root cause for all agony, for grief, for pain, and bringing hurt to yourself. Why is it the root cause? It's the root cause because when you make a projection, for this year I need to make 10 million, right? Now I'm pining to make that amount of money. When I'm pining to make that money, so I'm going to hit him, I'm going to swear him, I'm going to rob him, I'm going to squeeze that person. Why I need to make that target? And when you've got that type of a target, you're going to rob someone to pay someone. Rob someone to pay someone. Either you're going to rob yourself or rob someone else. You rob yourself in your health, in your namaz, in your own obligations, you're going to rob yourself. Or you're going to rob someone that is close to you. Why you want to pay that person? That account, I need so much in that account. I can't see that amount coming in, so I'm going to rob someone. So someone is going to be robbed to pay someone else. So when you're robbing yourself or you're robbing someone else, then that dunya, that wealth is of no essence. You have flushed out the barakat of that wealth. It's going to happen. Now, you didn't meet the target, then you're burning, you're hurting yourself. You're stressing again, why I didn't make that target. I need to make that target. Why didn't I make that target? So you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt your dependents, people that are around you. You definitely are going to hurt someone. And why? Because you have made that projection. So when you say you don't make that projection, then what should we be doing? How should we carry on with our finance? How should we do with our business? See, I say this projection analogy can be extended to any situation. Right? I will hurt. If I got a projection about my children must be like this. One must be a doctor, one must be a scientist, one must be a professor. And they must earn money like this. If they didn't, then I'm hurt again. Oh, my daughter or my son must be married like this. If they didn't, then I'm hurt again. He must be so much educated. He must become this type of an educated person. If he doesn't, I become hurt. So these projections really, this is the thing that smashes your life. Why does it smash your life? It's because that projection is not within the ambit of your control. I ask you, is it within your control? If it was absolutely within your control, then it was right for you to project. But if it is not at all within your projection, why must you do that? Chalti ralai. Why must you ask for trouble? It's not your, not within your control. Your control, you go and look for it. But it's not within your control, then why must you go for it? Alright, then what should be the concept, mindset of business? The mindset in business is, فَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Then just be moderate. A little bit less than moderation in business. And to compensate for that loss, you know, you was moderate or less than moderate. I say you didn't struggle right through. So for that which you didn't do, you trust in Allah Ta'ala, وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. فَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. So you trust in Allah Ta'ala. So you have worked and you have relied in Allah Ta'ala. That's one. Number two, right? When you see, فَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Right? Trust in Allah Ta'ala. When you have trusted in Allah Ta'ala, then how will your mindset be? Your mindset will be, I will live for the day. That means you must live in a jundal then. Live for the day, live in a jundal, get your one day's whatever, and you carry on. You work at a moderate pace, but work for the day, live for the day. You'll be a happy person. Today it went well, I got a roof, I ate, my children were alright, everything went well for me, alhamdulillah. Tomorrow we'll see again, tomorrow is another day. But I'm looking at a 100-year projection. No, I'm going to agonize, I'm going to grieve, I'm going to pain myself, I'm going to hurt myself. But if you apply this concept, live for the day. إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَى وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَى. Morning, don't wait for the evening. Evening, don't wait for the morning. I say, what is comprehension? What is perfection? What is completion? Completion and perfection is that I give you a definition, I give you a concept that is applicable for all classes, for the weak and the strong, the wealthy and the poor, the intelligent and the unintelligent, the learned and educated and the uneducated. But I ask you, this concept, doesn't it work for everybody? إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَى فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَى. Morning, don't wait for the evening. Evening, don't wait for the morning. Everything went well. I am healthy, I am happy, alhamdulillah. So, I've got this concept. I've come home, I'm a happy person. Happy with myself, happy with my wife, my children, everybody. I'm happy. The morning, not waiting for the evening. So I'm happy with all my staff. With all the people that are around me, I'm happy. I'm working with moderation. And I'm not stressing now. Yes, for the day I'm working, I need to work for the day. That's all. I don't need to work beyond the day. As though our life is like this, you know, this rectangular, right? And our aspirations are shooting out right here. We don't realize that the life comes to an end here. Life comes to an end here. Our life ambitions are shooting out. So these ambitions and aspirations is killing us. And this hadith is giving such a perfect formula for the comfort of your mind, for the ease of your heart. Such a perfect. You can't find something as comprehensive. And it's a concept that works for everybody. If it's a concept that works for one class of person, I'll say it's not a complete solution. But this is a perfect solution. Work for the day. Don't worry about the night. Tomorrow, don't worry about the tomorrow and don't worry about the night. You are at rest now, you'll be at ease. Now, the question is then, why do we find it so difficult to apply it? If it's an easy concept, why do we find it so easy to apply it? I say the answer to that is quite easy. If there's an addiction, you are entrenched in a concept, there's an addiction, to give up the addiction, is it easy? You've got a 40, 50 year cigarette habit, right? Some of my friends say, you smoke 60 a day. I go, hey, how that it worked out? 60 a day. I'm calculating in my mind. I need about 8 hours or something to sleep, right? Then 3-4 hours bathing, ghusl, toilet, eating, whatever else, that's 4 hours, so 12 hours. In 12 hours, how you manage to take 60, 70? I said, don't worry about that. Alright, it may take you 15 minutes to finish one cigarette. So 1 hour, it take you 4 cigarettes. 12, 4, 48. 70, how can we manage? Forget about that. Chain smokers. Now, for that person, if the doctor tells him, you better kick up the habit, you think it's going to be an easy thing for him to leave? Although the doctor is telling him, you'll get cancer, heart problem, you'll get. Say, doctor, what are you saying? Your bayan is right. But, it's not so easy to leave it up. So you agree with me in principle, to give it up becomes difficult. So exactly the same. You understand that this is the right solution. But because this capitalism is entrenched into the system, you lived it, you ate it, you drank into it, you slept with it, you got up with it. Now for you to give it up, to flush it out from your system, is becoming impossible, becoming so difficult. So you say, Moa, you're not keeping up with the times. Oh, you're keeping up with the times. But you're not keeping up with your time. Your time limit is here. And you're shooting out. Your time limit is here. It just ends up at this point, abruptly. Immediately it stops. But you are shooting out. So, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذْرِ السَّبْحَ. How beautiful. Just want to keep reading it. Just want to keep reading it. So, we're talking of this بَلْأَمْ بَعُورَ. And I say, trust in Allah Ta'ala. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahmatullah is a very great saint. Talking of tawakkul, but I'll come back to the topic again. Talking of taqwa and tawakkul, right? But things are all flying across my mind as they come, and I will just explain that. So that Shah Abdul Quddus Rahmatullah, he was amongst the greatest of the saints of his time, around 9th, 10th century, somewhere there, right? 9th, 10th century in India, about the greatest, right? You can't find a buzruk of that level. Meanwhile, one person, he's a very powerful amil. Amil, now, normally you call that person who makes dam and all that, parelupani, dam, taweez, and then jinnat and all that, right? You call that person an amil, right? So one army that is very powerful, he's got some jinnats under his control. So he has heard about Shah Abdul Quddus Rahmatullah, great person, personality, but I'm living at a distance. So let's shortcut this whole thing. One of his jinnats said, make a plan for me, just go, that Shah Sahib, just bring him to me. Now, normally his army, this is what happens to them. When they practice this amal and all that, they feel, hey, we are tykes, power packs, we can do things. Unfortunately, many of them, then their trust and their reliance in Allah Ta'ala shifts. Their reliance is on themselves. So they will build in your heart their confidence that you must trust in them. Now that is the starting point of your collapse. If your confidence and trust is going to shift from Allah Ta'ala to them, then how are you going to secure the help of Allah Ta'ala? So they consider themselves to be power packs. Right? They're supposed to be talking about the trust in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak does, He'll make it happen. And you take the name of Allah Ta'ala, go on the right way, you'll see Allah Ta'ala's help coming to you. So that's how they're supposed to be talking to you. But then they'll talk so much about themselves that your tawakkul, your trust in Allah Ta'ala shifts through themselves. So anyway, this person sends his jinn, go and collect the chasab, bring him to me. Now the jinn comes to the Shah Abdul Quddus Rahmatullahi. So Shah Sahib greets him, understands that he's a jinn. What's the purpose of your visit? So no, so-and-so person asked me to call you. He's frightened. Jinnah is frightened now. This person asked me to come and fetch you. So now, Shah Sahib asks him, all right, from this point, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to the person, to your boss? Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to your boss? So the jinn says, you know what? I would have listened to my boss for any person, but before you, I can't listen to anybody. I will now receive instructions only from you. Whatever the instruction, whatever the nature of the instruction, I will listen to you only. He said, all right, go back to the sender and bring him here. See, the trust in Allah Ta'ala, right? Trust in Allah. Karne wali zaat to uski hai. Na paise se kaam hota hai, na jinn se kaam hota hai, na jadu se kaam banta hai, bhai. Our reliance on all these things is so much, so shaken up. Hey, someone has given a story on rukya, you will fall for the rukya. Someone will give a story on jadu. And he may just tell you something. You know what? This person here was like this towards you, and perhaps he made the jadu. Yeah. So your suspicions will take you in the direction. See, yeah, I never believed in this, but now I'm seeing reality, you know. We don't say that there isn't a thing like jadu, but not like how we trust it. Not like how we take it. So he goes to the sender. The sender is saying, the boss is saying, but you are working for me. How can you take instructions from someone else? He says, come what may, now I'm going to take you back to him. Come what may. The trust in Allah Ta'ala, the reliance in Allah Ta'ala. What level of reliance we need to have in Allah Ta'ala? That is why the Quran Sharif says, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is sufficient. You trust in him. And see how Allah Ta'ala complains. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Am I not sufficient for you? Like the husband is complaining to the wife, that for your needs you're going to other people. I'm your husband. Am I not sufficient for you? How don't you feel? How miserable don't you feel if your wife is running around to others for favors? How miserable won't you feel? I'm around. I'm the man. I put on the pants. I do things. Then how come you're running around to others? How miserable don't you feel? Then how will Allah Ta'ala take it? That when I'm around, I see to every need of yours, then your sight is cast on other people, you are fixing your gaze on other people, how will I take it? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Allah is complaining as though, that am I not sufficient? وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. And these people's habit is, that they threaten you, they frighten you with other things. Oh, you want a job, and you got this type of a beard. You think you'll get the job, you'll never get the job. You want the job and you want to get your namazes on time, you're not going to get the namaz, you're not going to get your job. So they threaten you to go anti-Allah Ta'ala to be able to get your rozi. وَيُخَوِّفُونَكَ بِالَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِ. So who's the Malik, who's the Razi? See the trust in Allah Ta'ala. This is where we are going off. We're not realizing that this is where we are going off. Our work is to try and cry. That's our work. Beyond that, don't go beyond that point. So this projection is a problem. See, we are projecting. My son must be like this, my daughter must be like this, my wealth must be like this, my future must be chalked out like this. And if it didn't work out, then we are stressing about the whole thing. Why it didn't work out? Why it didn't work out? But are you in control? Is this whole universe, this whole administration, is it yours? It's not yours. Then why are you applying your skills, why are you applying your thinking against the plan of Allah Ta'ala? But just you go with the flow. In the plan of Allah Ta'ala, you go with the flow. It's His plan, it is His administration, you go with the flow. You won't find yourself in distress. You won't find yourself in problems. And to help you, what you will say, Hasbi Allah. See, the Sahaba Kiram, when they were threatened, they were already wounded at Uhud, and they were threatened that, see, there's a big army coming for you. So their response was, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah Pak is sufficient. Allah Pak says it himself that, مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. You put your reliance, your trust in me, I am sufficient. Now here they are hurt, they injured, right? And there's 70 of them going against an army of over 3,000. And all they're saying is, Hasbunallah. Allah Pak says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ. They try, they trust in me, they relied in me, they put their confidence in me, I bless them in three ways. One is, that army, that opposition army, their hearts were filled with fear. So they didn't want to take a try. Man, they're over 3,000 in strength, and here they are 70, but they don't want to take a try. Right. Number two, there was no harm that reached the Sahaba Ikram, the 70 of them. Number three, at the point where they're supposed to be engaging in war, there was a trade fair carrying on. Sahaba Ikram made big money out of it. And number four, the greatest of all, وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ, they secured the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala.
But you see, just trusting in Allah, mera kaam banane wala Allah Ta'ala ki zaat hai. Allah Ta'ala will make my work happen. He will make it happen. Why must I turn away from Allah Ta'ala? Ye mera kaam banayega, and this will make my things happen. Where's the trust? And where's Allah Ta'ala in the whole show? So Hazrat Yusuf Alhamdulillah used to say that in this type of situation, circumstance, when things are going on like this, right? Then you need to recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In other words, the good that I see is from Allah Ta'ala alone. Worldly wise, spiritual wise, religious wise, education wise, whatever good I see is from Allah Ta'ala alone. And evil is averted with its problems, calamities, sins, etc. Evil is averted only by His command. So I don't take credit for anything. For the good that came to me or the evil that was averted, it's not of my own. So my gaze, my trust, my reliance, my sight is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that's La ilaha illallah. Allah Ta'ala does. So we are talking about the student, you know, and he's going to class. And that Ustad is saying to him that I am getting something, some fragrance that's beyond this world. I never come across something like this. But as I say, the Ustad has to display a level of independence. He can't show his needs to the students. Nor to the students, nor to their parents. He can't show his needs. If he's going to be showing needs to them, then they'll maneuver him. They'll turn him around. Where he needs to give instruction, now he'll have to receive instruction. That is if he's going to show need. But if he's going to stand at a position of strength, then they will take from him. They will learn from him. So now the Ustad is getting this fragrance, but he can't resist now. At some point he couldn't resist it. So he says to the student, you know, I'm getting a perfume from you. I just want to know, I don't want that any one drop of the perfume from you, but I want to know, where did you procure this? Where did you purchase this from? That's all I want to know from you. The student tried to turn it away, but then it was the instruction of his ustad, his senior. So he says, no, you know, I had the secret between me and Allah Ta'ala. No third person had shared the secret. But you are my ustad, and you are insisting that I must tell you, I must disclose to you, where did I get this from? So let me tell you how this happened. So he says, you see, I'm coming to learn, right? I'm about 20 years of age, I'm coming to learn. And you see the beauty Allah Pak has blessed me with. Because of the beauty, the goodness in me, right? The apparent looks, etc., intelligence, the apparent looks, now, a lot of girls that are making forward advances towards me. And I'm turning this all away, turning all these things away. And it's happening for some time. I've been keeping it a secret. I didn't disclose it to anybody. And you know what can happen to a man? You know, if a woman is showing some interest in him, then what happens to that man? And unfortunately, this education, the way the turn is taking, you've got everything mixed up. Man teaching woman, woman teaching man. And it's going on like this. And the things that go in between, Allah Pak hifazat kare. You can't restrain. Allah Pak, when He talk about parda, etc., He spoke out parda because He knows He made you. He knows that when there's not going to be any parda, you're not going to be able to restrain. So He's instituted the law. Because He knows, I have made the person, and He won't be able to apply the brakes. So rather, you remain separate and let her remain separate. Don't you intermingle. If you're going to intermingle, then you will not be able to apply the brakes. I created you, I know you. Don't you employ your reasoning against my institution. Man says, no, I got a clean heart. But you clever, today you became cleverer than Allah Pak. Allah Pak made the law and you want to be Allah Pak's boss. It's an insult against the integrity of Allah Ta'ala. When you say, no, my heart is clean, I don't need to observe this thing here. It's an insult that Allah Pak made the constitution, He made this whole law and system, and today you turn around and you say, no, I can beat the system, I don't need to have that parda. So this student says, you know what, then I was coming to the madrasa, and as I was approaching, this woman trapped me. And she shouted for help. Now, the masla is this, that when a Muslim's life or property is in danger, then it's an obligation, it's not just an option. It's an obligation to go and save. If his wealth or his property or life is in danger, I mean, there was a shout of help coming from that direction. I went. Because it's an obligation now. What do I do? I let that Muslim die? Or do I go and help the person? Now, as soon as I stepped into the house, she's a wealthy woman, she got 10 security. So she asked them to lock the whole place up. Now, I am cornered in the room with her only. And you see, the help that was needed was the help that I need. I need personal attention. And I need that attention from yourself. Now the youngster understands his options. Right? That if I'm going to try to break away from here, this security here. If they kill me in the process, the case will go against me, because what are you doing in a woman's home? They'll kill me. They can make up a case. Well, he intruded and they killed him. So I got no option. What do I do? So when a person fears Allah, Ta'ala, Allah opens an exit. Yusuf alayhi salam is trapped, right? But he doesn't say that he's trapped and the queen has trapped him. There's no option, there's no exit for me. When there's no exit plan for me, then I will be marked in this situation. Under the circumstance, Allah will make me marked. Because I'm trapped. There's no option, there's no exit. There's no alternative but to get into this haram. Whether it's financing, whether it's a woman involved, whether it's your child involved, whatever the type of haram. But it is the law of Allah Ta'ala that you're playing. You escape, run away. Fafirru ilallah. That's the command of Allah Ta'ala, no matter what comes. But it's haram. It's something that Allah Ta'ala has declared forbidden. Then you exhaust your energies to escape from the situation. And the precedent for this is Yusuf alayhi salam. See, where is the haram taking place, right? إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُودُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَعَارِدَنُمْ. When people are doing wrong, right? Haram is taking place. Then what are you supposed to be doing? A lot of times, in this day and time, people ask this question, if there's a wrong taking place, what should we do? The laws of the Quran Sharif are so clear, even we use our brains, you know, you will get a direction. But we don't use our brains. فَأَعْرِضْ أَنُمْ حَتَّى يَخُودُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرٍ. So there can be four situations. One is where you can stop the person, and you stop the person. If it's someone that comes under your influence, then you stop the person. I explain, if you are sitting in this room, there's someone sitting in the next room, right? And he's swearing your father, right? He's insulting your father, what will you do? If you can stop him, you will stop him straight away. But for some reason, you can't stop the person. Not verbally, not physically, you can't stop the person. Then what do you do? Then, فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. Then you'll move away. You'll move away. You're not going to stay there and listen to the person swearing your father, insulting your mother. Will you remain sitting there? Now the same situation, same understanding you can apply to any situation. Walima, concert, hall, whatever. But the haram is taking place. When there's a haram taking place, you can stop it, you stop it. Physically, if you can stop it, you stop it physically. فَلْيُغَيِّرُ بِيَدِي. If you can't stop it physically, then you stop it verbally. If you can't do that, then at least move away from that place. That's the third situation, you move away. Because you're not going to know a person that is in his right frame of mind will sit and listen to his mother being insulted. So is the Sharia anywhere less than your mother? Is the honor and the integrity anywhere less than your father? Your father is insulted, is too much. Your mother is being insulted, is too much. But the Sharia can be trampled. Someone is playing music and is dancing and doing whatever. And then you can tolerate all these things here. The reasoning is off. Understanding is not. Zehn ki salamati rukhsat ho gayi. A pure temperament has left you. So you can't reason. There's only one exception to the rule where you are totally helpless. A totally helpless situation is like, for example, you are in a plane now, right? And some of this music on there. There's a woman running around the aisle, three-quarter naked, right? Or there's a woman sitting around you. Someone is sipping wine. Someone is looking at haram movies, etc. They're looking around. But what options have you got? Can you move out? You can't. You can't open the door and jump out. Can you do that? You have no options. You just have to just bow your eyes down. And try and avoid that thing as much as you can. Now that is a predicament that is unavoidable. But otherwise, there are situations you can move away. Under some pretext or other, you're moving in any gathering, I need to go to the toilet. Can't you do that? Well, no, you won't use that. So this youngster now, he applied the precedent that he learned from Yusuf alayhi salam, was tabaq al-bab. He saw, I'm caught up now, I got no other option. But whatever is within me, let me employ that. All I can do is I can dart towards the door. That's what I can do. That's my capacity. The rest of it is Allah Ta'ala's. But I must do what's within my capacity. Let me do that. Let me exhaust myself. Now it's a locked door, and it's seven doors, one interleading into the other. And whatever it is, I must do what's within my capacity. I must do that. The rest leave it to Allah Ta'ala. And then Yusuf alayhi salam darts towards the door. As he darts, the doors just open out. The locks break and he's moving out. Now this youngster is thinking to himself, alright, what do I do? I'm not Yusuf alayhi salam, he was a Nabi of the time. He had miracle, Allah had given him that. But what can I do? See, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You're going to fear Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will definitely create an exit. So he is now overwhelmed with the fear of Allah Ta'ala. When he's overwhelmed with the fear of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will definitely inspire him. So now he can't tell the woman, you know, I can't do this because it's haram. Because she's not going to listen. He can't escape because he's life and death. And besides that, it's an embarrassment. If he's dead in a woman's home, then it's a further embarrassment. It's a disgrace for him. So now he's thinking, what's the option? So he says to the woman, you know what? I just need to go to the toilet. We're going to do the things, you know, but you know, I need to be relieved, cooled off, chilled down. Then we can do things nicely. Now, as I'm stressed now, the thing is three-quarter coming out already, and you want to be, you know, how are we going to do things like that? So in the old days, if someone remembers, there was the bucket system, you know. Once a week or twice a week, they would come and empty those buckets, right? And you know, the waste is such, okay, you are in the position to wash out your own waste. But ask you to wash out someone else's waste, it's like an impossible thing. And I ask the man to wash out his child's waste, I can't do this woman's job, I can't do it. He'll be very reluctant to wash out his own child's waste. Although the wife, she makes that qurbani, she makes that sacrifice and she does it. Yet we don't appreciate them. I say this all the time, we don't appreciate them. We appreciate the sir. We appreciate, all the haram we'll appreciate. But that woman that is slaving, killing herself for us, we don't appreciate. Right. So anyway, now he goes, like I say, to clean your own dirt, it's alright, you can manage it. But someone else's dirt, you can't. So he's thinking that fear of Allah is overwhelming. He said, no, let me smear myself with all that thing, with all that muck, and put it thick also. You know, apply it thick. Because I'm saving myself, this is my defense. And if I'm going to apply this defense, Allah Ta'ala will give me a purity that is of a different level. Because I'm keeping pure because of Him. I'm going to this filth because of Him. When I'm doing it for Him, Allah Ta'ala will definitely replace me with some purity. He's got it in His mind. And if I'm going to plunge into this evil, then I will be embroiled in surij, I will be embroiled in haram. Outwardly I will look clean. But within me I am rotten. There's going to be filth within me. There's going to be a stench within me. Outwardly I'll look very well. Pleasing. But within me there'll be a stench. There'll be a dirt. There'll be filth within me. So I rather allow myself to be polished with all that filth than my internal self being spiritually rotten. Corrupted, corroded, smelling and stenching. I can always get this washed out. But this thing, how long is it going to take me to wash this filth out? It's going to be like an impossible task. He's reasoning within himself. And as he's reasoning, he's taking all that filth and he's polishing himself. And then that is thick layer. He's planning himself. He's planning what I need to do. How must I get all this haram? He polishes this himself nicely. And he comes out of the toilet with his hair, everything from the head to the toe, all that filth. And he's laughing. He says, yeah, now I'm prepared now. Laughing and jumping. You know, she's saying a security, just chase this madman out here. Well, that was what I was waiting for. And you must say, I'm mad and she'll chase me out. Allah Ta'ala will forgive me for this. He will replace me for the difficulty that I went. He says, from that day, after I had that ghusl, Allah Ta'ala gave me that perfume, that type of beauty Allah Ta'ala gave me, that is beyond this world here. Allah Ta'ala seen it in this way. So look at this servant of mine, he's so loyal to me. He don't want to break the loyalty. He don't want to betray my love. So the degree of love that he's got for me, he doesn't want to betray it. He doesn't want to be unloyal to me. So I need to replace him, not only in the hereafter, but here as well I need to replace him. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. Allah Pak doesn't forget. Person does us favors, we forget about it. Day, 2 days later, we forget about it. Ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Allah Pak doesn't forget. And he rewards. When he rewards. Chappar tor karke deta hai. He'll give you so much. You can't even take so much. He'll give you so much. But then are you showing the degree of loyalty? Are you keeping in, are you keeping to the levels of love? Or are you breaching that loyalty? Are you breaching the lines of love? What are we doing? So what we learned today, one is taqwa, right? To your ability, whether it's in finance, whether it is woman, whether it is anything that is attractive, but exhaust yourself and get out. No matter what who says, you run out of the situation, get out of it. And then you see how Allah's help will come. Whether it is doubtful, whether it's haram, whether it is not liked by Allah Ta'ala, don't debate the thing. Don't debate it. Yes, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. You come running towards me, and I will embrace you. No matter what the circumstance, you came towards me, I will assist you. In the day of the Sahaba Ikram, another instance I wanted to mention, and now my time is already over, right? So I will give you an incident that will just fit within the time. So in the day of the Sahaba Ikram, there are jamaats that are going out, armies that are going out. I was interested to see what was the parting advice that the Amir is giving to these armies. Someone is going to the Roman Empire, Persian Empire, what were they going to do? But I was very curious to see. I was thinking of perhaps, say, oh, you must strategize like this, use this type of tactic and that type of tactic and this type of arm and that type of weaponry you must use. So I don't see the Amir giving any type of advice with regards to strategizing. But yes, definitely the Amir is giving him advice. Usikum bi taqwa Allah fi khasati nafsik. I advise you, admonish you of keeping Allah Ta'ala in mind at all times. Don't you forget Allah Ta'ala. The consciousness of Allah Ta'ala mustn't leave you. In other words, when we fight with the help of Allah Ta'ala. And we get the help of Allah Ta'ala when we apply those means that we will secure the help of Allah Ta'ala. The richest in the world at one time, Arabia, right? Richest, wealthiest. Allah Pak is a lesson for us, right? But they're fighting the weakest, Yemen, right? And on account of that, they become insolvent. They're looking at 2030 vision. That vision is not becoming visible. That vision is not becoming visible. They were the mightiest, they were the wealthiest, and they fought the weakest, and they went insolvent, right? Then, look at a parallel to this. Look at Afghanistan, the weakest, the poorest. And they took on the strongest. They took on Russia, that was one superpower. They took on America. And both have to leave with the tails between the legs. They have to run away with embarrassment and shame. Weakest took on the strongest, and they came out as champions. What was the common denominator? Here the reliance was in Allah Ta'ala. Here the reliance was on America, the kuffar. Here the trust was in Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala showed them what I will do. And the kafir showed what he can do. The super duper power showed what he can do. And Allah Pak showed what I can do. Man that has got no weapons, nothing to fight with. He has absolutely nothing. But he's got the reliance in Allah Ta'ala. The trust in Allah Ta'ala. So the Amir is giving this advice to every general of his, every general of the army, by keep Allah Ta'ala in heart. Ala ibn Hadrami radiyallahu anhu, he's coming to Bahrain, he has to cross over the ocean. No transport, no vehicle to take them across. So one glance, he looks towards the army. Now I see all of them as muttaqis. What a sight he must have had to see that the levels of taqwa is right. Like how we see the level of the petrol in the motor car, he is looking at the levels of taqwa in them. What a vision he must have had, that he could see these people are on. The trust in Allah Ta'ala is right. The taqwa in Allah Ta'ala is right. So, you know, I got no fear. And they walk on, it's march on like a tarred road across the ocean. Something unheard, something unimaginable. And the enemy is struck with such fear, and they say, Dev Amadeh, Jinnat Sakhaveh, Jinnat Sakhaveh. Running away. You see, karne wali zaat kiski hai? Who is the one that makes it happen? Have we got our trust in him? Are we employing those means that will bring us the assistance of Allah Ta'ala? Are we doing that? Oh, our minds are on something else. Our trust in something else, our reliance in something else, our hearts and wealth is in something else. See? Then how do we want this thing to happen? Islam never said don't apply means. But yes, apply it moderately, trust in Allah. Don't let your trust be shifted. Your trust, your reliance, your confidence in Allah, don't let that be shifted. Don't let that be affected in any way. Everything else will happen, but don't let that be affected. What a beautiful remedy. Isn't it beautiful? At any time, any place, any person, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu, we're not talking of Nizamuddin, etc., right? But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu, someone came and complained to him, see, people are fighting here. It will happen all the time. It happened in the past, it will happen now, it will happen all the time, it will happen. But what are we supposed to be doing? See, our take in matters is all upside down. We want to see, what's the latest here? What happened now? Who said what? What happened here? What happened here? But does any person come and ask, what must I do? As a Muslim, what must I do? Some things are happening around, but what must I do? What's my duty? What's my responsibility? For the Sahaba Ikram, that was their mind. What must we do? As Abdullah says to them, you think I'm going to ask you to go and fight with them? So, no, I will not ask you to do so. Yes, I will ask you, you're going to advise them moderately. And if they listen, very good. If they don't listen, apna kaam karo, apni fikar karo. Now you correct yourself. Where are you going off? What you need to adjust and correct yourself, you be concerned about that. But you see, perfection, comprehension. Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib.